You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center and Greenville. In fact, we want to thank Trent Gain-Elbert for their sponsorship of the show. We're right here on the Sports Objective. It is a Sunday night. The Pirates get the sweep of the Memphis Tigers, and man, it's unbelievable. What a weekend. We'll talk about that on that Friday night marathon. We always talk about the season being a marathon. We talk about our show being Extra Innings, the second Extra Inning game of the season. Last time was a loss. This time was a win. And if you wonder about the other one, of course, that was March 15th against ODU, as the Pirates should have won that game, but it was a 9-8 loss and 10 innings. And I bring in my good friend, you're like one of my favorite songs, Bubba Rosenbaum, is On the Road Again by Willie Nelson, and you're on the road again.
Yeah, on the way back home from Lexington, making the old 35 to 40 minute commute after spending a few hours with my parents and going to see my mom for Mother's Day. So apologize to some of our viewers for the hour and a half delay in showtime, but better late than never. And man, what a weekend it was for the Pirates. Going back to that very unusual Friday night game where both pitchers, obviously C.J. Mayhew for the Pirates, took no hitters into the ninth inning. And in C.J. Mayhew's case, was pulled from the game after nine innings with a no hitter. The Memphis pitcher was pulled after the eighth inning, eight no hit innings. And then the Pirates did manage to get a couple of hits in the top of the ninth off the Memphis relievers. But just a very unusual, or what a remarkable game with all those zeros. And in addition to C.J. Mayhew, Carter Spivey came on and pitched very well and got the win point of that. But Carter is now 5-0 on the year. But exactly what they ordered with the sweep. Felt very confident that the Pirates would sweep that series. But at the same time, on the road, it was Coach Dan Schoenrock's final series there at Memphis in terms of a home series. And that obviously meant that it was senior weekend for the Tigers seniors. Not sure exactly how many they had, but with all those things, you knew it was going to be tough. But after we got that 13-inning win, 4-1 on Friday, I felt very confident, and the Pirates made it happen.
Yeah, I tell you what, I know that in our group chat, a text, man, we were really worried about that game. And what a performance against C.J. Mayhew. Man, that was definitely what he's capable of. We know how great a pitcher he is, a left-hander, and it just turned out to be a great game for the Pirates. And yes, 13 innings, but hey, we got the win on Friday night. That's the most important thing. And Bubba, I know now with the sweep, you put up the RPI now is 37. My memory serves me right.
Yeah, we can dive into that a little bit more later on when we're talking about the conference, the scores around the league, and everything that transpired this weekend. But Warren Nolan, and that is not the official RPI, but normally, right, it's fairly close, within 2 to 4 spots of where the NCAA RPI is. And you can find that by simply just typing in NCAA baseball RPI into a Google search. It had not been updated in the last time I checked, which is about an hour ago. It was, I think, Thursday, May the 5th, that it had last been updated. Going into the weekend, the Pirates were 52nd. But now in the Warren Nolan RPI, which updates, several times throughout the day, the Pirates are now 37th. And I think it's – not only do you get a road sweep, and yes, it was over a team that's right around 200 in the RPI, So some people were thinking, well, how in the world do you jump? You know, I'm not sure where we were in the Warren Nolan RPI going into the weekend, but, you know, how do you jump 12 to 15 spots? Well, you win three games on the road, so even though it's against a that hasn't been very good and it's 200 plus in RPI, those road wins still are precious. And then in addition to that, you know, you have opponents like Virginia Tech, who's ranked fifth now. You have Old Dominion. Yes, the Pirates lost to the Monarchs twice, both times one-run ball games in the late innings. But the Monarchs coming on very strong of late, and they took two out of three from Southern Miss, who's ranked seventh. And then you also, in addition to those two clubs, I'm trying to remember, you have another one or two that are really playing well. So it's kind of a perfect storm. The Pirates getting hot, and then the former opponents of the Pirates playing well.
Yeah, we won six straight. And I tell you what, looking pretty going down the stretch as we have, eight straight games at home, Bubba, coming up?
Yeah, eight straight games at home, starting with the Duke Blue Devils this Tuesday night. And then you have a three-game series against South Florida, and then you have a midweek game against Campbell, and then you close things out with three against the Houston Cougars. And we'll talk about what the Cougars did, because they are second in the AAC standings, and we'll run through all that later on after we finish talking about the Pirates.
No doubt, but, you know, something I wanted to say, Bubba, and we'll get we'll look at the overall weekend that was, of course, no midweek game, and Pirates at Memphis. And, you know, the great thing about this is that, you know, it seems just as Pirate fans and maybe baseball fans, college baseball fans, that is ready to write off the Pirates. Bad year. Well, we're still number one in the American. And yes, we talk about all the time, we want to win more games and all that, but still they're red hot right now, six straight. And who knows, Duke could come in. I think it's on Tuesday night. But the fact of the matter is, we have done very well over the years against Duke. Then you like your chance. We should do well against you. We'll see. But USF. Then we have Campbell, and like Bubba said, Houston to round that out. But the fact that we're home. By the way, fans, let's rock out Clark LeClaire over the next eight games. And this is the point of the season I was curious about to see what would happen. And here we are. But before we get into that, let's go over to this past weekend to Memphis. By the way, Pirates are 30-18 overall. Great to see that. And 14-4 in the American. And, of course, we're talking about in first place. Bubba, I know, though, with the Memphis games, those three games, starting off with Friday night, oh my goodness, that was so nerve wracking. I was pacing around Friday night, Bubba, around my living room. I don't think I've been that nervous about a Pirate baseball game, probably for a different reason. When we were in the Super Regional against Vanderbilt, it was probably last time I paced like that around my house.
Yeah, like I said, two tremendous performances by the starting pitchers in that game. It's such a shame C.J. Mayhew didn't get that no-hitter, because, like I mentioned in the open, you know, he went nine innings. In those nine innings, obviously did not surrender a hit, struck out nine, only walked one batter. So he retired 27 of the 28 batters he faced, and was just that walk from being perfect through nine innings. And then Landon Gartman from Memphis, he's the guy that he'd pitched very well up until his last couple of starts, and gotten touched up a bit in those most recent outings. But he's a guy you knew was very capable. He was extremely highly regarded coming into Memphis. He was a JUCO Division II National Pitcher of the Year for Pearl River Community College there in Mississippi. And so, you know, he went eight innings, 131 pitches, and obviously did not surrender a hit. So I think he's something like maybe 5-2 on the season. But again, you know, hats off to C.J. Mayhew and Memphis' Landon Gartman on those tremendous performances. Then you had Carter Spivey come on. Carter Spivey I think he went four innings. He came on in the 10th, one run on three hits, two strikeouts, three walks. Two of those walks, though, were intentional walks. So really only one walk for Carter. And then 55 pitches to navigate through those four innings. But, you know, it's kind of odd considering Gartman, you know, had the no-hitter through eight innings, and the Pirates did have a couple of hits in the ninth. I don't recall exactly how many walks Gartman issued, but I don't think it was more than about three or four. And the Pirates left 15 runners on in the game. I think 11 of those runners came from the ninth inning on, and nine of those runners came in between the ninth and the 12th innings. So those four innings, the Pirates had so many opportunities to end the game. Twice they left the bases loaded, and you know you're afraid, hey, is this going to come back to haunt us? But fortunately, Carter Spivey and the defense really came through. I think there was a web gem that Carter Spivey had, and the ball hit really hard back up the middle there. Maybe it was in the bottom of the 12th, either the bottom of the 11th or bottom of the 12th, to extend things. And then the Pirates took care of business with those four runs in the top of the 13th. A big two-run single by Ben Newton to break the ice.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that very thing, Bubba. You're the, not to put you on the spot, but you're our stats guy, numbers guy. Overall, it seems like, and maybe I can't think of every single, I can't remember every single game, but it seems like our runners in scoring position in the beginning of the year, for sure, off the top of my head, but it just seems like we've left, is it me or it seems like we've left so many runners on base this year. Maybe it's a season usually has a way of evening things out, but it just seems like this year when it matters, like that game, and I know that we were talking about on Friday night, hopefully this won't come back to haunt us, as you said, and thankfully it didn't, and we had a huge, finally, better late than never, we finally have a great inning. But is that something you've noticed, or is that something of late that maybe has changed? But it just seems like this year has been one of those years where we just can't get the runs in like we need.
The reason you're probably feeling that way, I'm not sure what our numbers are on the season in terms of batting average with runners in scoring position. But the reason you're probably feeling that way is because our most recent loss against NC State, the Pirates left 14 on in that one. And obviously it really hurt us that night because that was a fairly competitive ball game, within three or four runs there in the mid to late innings before NC State put it away in the eighth and ninth when the Pirates went just 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that was what you're – I don't know if you could read my mind or not, but I was thinking that was one of the games I was thinking back through. You know, just we wish we could have, it's like if you wish you could have time back, you wish you could have some of those innings back. But the good news is the very fact that, you know, that's in the rear view, and that we have to look ahead to the games. And, you know, with the Pirates, with that the unbelievable game. And another thing I want to mention, and we'll move on if you want to Saturday's game. But for me personally, I was thinking about something that we talk about a lot as Pirates, again, get those four runs in the 13th inning. How about having a coach like Cliff Godwin, who is so tough as nails? And I was just thinking about getting ready for the show, Bubba, in the green room. Bubba, with Cliff Godwin, he's one of those guys that you better make sure if you knock him down, you better make sure you do more than knock him down. You better knock him out. If not, he's going to come back up. And he's really going to start swinging and probably hurt you worse than if you just go ahead and finished him off. He's just so tough, and I'm glad to have him as our coach.
Yeah, kind of along the lines of what you're saying, my dad and I were having a conversation earlier this evening just talking about, you know, after the 1-5 start, you know, with the Carson Wisenhunt suspension at that point, knowing that it was not going to be surprising if he was done for the year, which was the case. And now you've been without, you know, you've really done an excellent job of navigating the last three conference weekends without Jake Kuchmaner. So you have two weekend starters like that, one gone for the season. Now, yes, Cooch has pitched very well and been a key cog up until the last 3 weeks. But now, having played half the conference schedule without Cooch, and here you are at 14-4, it just, you know, speaks the way Cliff and Coach Palumbo, Austin Knight, et cetera, the way they've recruited and stockpiled talent. And just not only that, but just the whole mindset of you know, toughness over talent and the way this program is built. You know, when we were 1-5, Coach Godwin said exactly what you would expect him to say, and just, hey, stick with us and we're going to figure it out. And since that point, we're 29-13.
Well, that actually, with the days when we should be.
Oh yeah, we're 29-13 because we're 1-5.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I beg your pardon. I thought you were talking about the overall record since that started. And again, you made the thanks to you, Bubba. I remember it very well. I always try to keep in mind of it's a long season, but look at the state, NC State. You reminded me of that last year with their season and how they had a slow start, if you will, and they ended up should have played for the College Bowl series, but that's a whole nother show, as they say. But the fact that they had a slow start, they made it to Omaha. There's no guarantee we will, but to write off a team after six games like some Pirate fans had, and I know that they're frustrated. We were all frustrated. Nobody likes losing. But I'm so proud of this team. And, you know, now, man, Bubba, with the homestand coming up, you like your chances going down the stretch, don't you?
Yeah, and as far as even before that, something I meant to mention a moment ago, what I told my dad verbatim, I said, hey, even if we would have had Carson Wisenhunt and a healthy Cooch this entire time, had you been told that, hey, the Pirates going in to the final two conference series of the season would, you know, have a two-game lead and control our destiny the way we do going into these games against South Florida and Houston, you would have taken it. But obviously the adversity we've overcome, it's all the more impressive.
It sure has. And, you know, we had the first game, like we talked about, with the big win and extra innings. And that's what's so great, Bubba, is that you never know how that will translate, but you got to feel like with that game that it's going to be where when we have a postseason with the regional, wherever we're playing that, and then with the, say if we get a super regional, that you know that this team, not to give up on this team, they're not giving up on themselves. The coaches are not giving on the players. Players are not giving them on the coaches. And that's a great thing. And then let's talk about yesterday's game, Saturday's game. Pirates also victorious in that one at Memphis.
Yeah, with Saturday's game, a lot of momentum coming off a 13-inning win on Friday night. Pirates got off to an excellent start, jumping out to a, I guess, 3-0 lead there in the first couple innings. And things kind of settled in after that point, but we took a 4-1 lead, I guess, into the mid to late innings. And at that point, things kind of started to get crazy with a little back and forth, each team answering the other. But after we took a 7-2 lead there, I think it was maybe the seventh or eighth inning. You know, I think it was the seventh, just going off memory. Memphis responded with a couple runs, but then we responded right back and went on for the 8-5 victory. Ryder, decent start, not his best outing, but he gave us three innings. And I think Memphis had five hits in those three innings. Then you really you saw it definitely wasn't a thing of beauty for either team yesterday, but the Pirates did just commit one error, and we took advantage of some Memphis miscues. We did get out hit 11-10, but Ben Newton, he was excellent all weekend. Ben had two hits in all three games, 6 for 12 on the weekend. And Ben Newton, we'll go ahead and discuss this. He was our PGAGloves.com Player of the Week. Like I mentioned, 6 out of 12, 3 two-hit games against Memphis, 4 RBI, and he had that big two-run single in the top of the 13th that propelled the Pirates to the 4-1 victory on Friday night.
What a great one, man. I'll tell you, Player of the Week with Ben Newton, absolutely. And you know, it was what Bryson World last week. It's just great to see these guys. We know that there's that's the thing that I go back to is, you know, you talk about toughness over talent, but this team has so many great players on it, so much talent. And that's the thing I know that Pirate fans are frustrated about. But I was thinking about this afternoon when the game was going on, Bubba, the very fact that teams develop at different times, the chemistry is at different times. You look at it, we're trying really hard. Maybe I don't think necessarily with this late in the season that we're trying to find our identity. But certainly I think that you're starting to see the run production is going up. And again, we're really proud of this team, another sweep. And hey, we win a lot, so the expectations are there, but we're still in first place. Saturday's game, yesterday's game. I tell you, the only thing I was disappointed, by the way, on Bubba, and you probably say you're such a broadcasting nerd, disappointed with Memphis that they did not have but one game televised. I know we had our good friend Scott Rogers on 94.3 The Game. Of course, you can listen to the Varsity app or TuneIn Radio app for sure for those not local, but just disappointed that they only had one game televised. That's just
I was very disappointed that was the case as well. Once we realized that, the beginning or middle part of last week, that we're only going to have TV for Saturday's game. But I will say this, that their ESPN broadcast team, I did enjoy the call of yesterday's game. And I believe it's Jeff something that was the play-by-play. I knew his voice sounded very familiar. Yeah, I believe he's the one that does a lot of the games down at the AAC tournament in Clearwater.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, it was good. It was good. It's just especially even better when the Pirates win. But, you know, we're in a day and age now where, you know, we're talking about, you know, with technology. I mean, look at us right here, Bubba. You were the one that found StreamYard here that we're broadcasting from. So people on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we can stream a show. Amazing stuff. This is what I will say to this. For all of us, of all the folks that don't like our show or think that we don't prepare and all that kind of comments we've heard from the Peanut Gallery, if we can do a show, you and I can do a show. You're on the road right now, and I'm in my living room. Just think about this. This is what I was thinking about when I heard that announcement. If we can do a show about ECU sports, we can broadcast it live. To be sure that Memphis, as much money as they have, can broadcast games. Don't you think? Am I wrong on that? I mean, I'm sorry if I'm coming from judgment, but it's just frustrating to me that just like when, what was it, in 2019, we had that series. You remember out in L.A. with UCLA? And UCLA couldn't broadcast the game. It had to be Brian Packard's dad, John Packard. Of course, Corey Glory was there for Liffield, but it's frustrating to think that these big universities, it's not that they don't have the money, it's the frustration for me, my point is they don't make the effort to do it when it should be done.
Yeah, obviously East Carolina is a priority with baseball, but you know, you look at this year, I watched bits and pieces of multiple lacrosse games on ESPN Plus. I don't know if it's an infrastructure issue, you know, like where, you know, we invested several hundred thousand dollars or whatever, maybe more, to build that control room, to make everything, get everything up to par and where it needed to be to do these ESPN Plus broadcasts. I don't know if that could be the issue or exactly what was going on there. I will certainly reach out to Scott Rogers and see if he can shed any light there, if he heard anything about it this weekend, because obviously he was thankful for everybody to be tuned in, but the way it came up when they had some issues on the air today and the broadcast went down for a matter of a minute or two, he just said that we apologize to Pirate Nation back home because, you know, we feel bad anytime. But this weekend where, you know, so many folks are relying on the audio and due to there not being video, it was even more frustrating.
No doubt. And sorry, Bubba, to get off on a tangent there, but it's just one of my pet peeves, as you know, how much I love radio and how much I love television. And I usually use both. I consume both by listening to radio and obviously watching television. So it's just very frustrating that, and especially, again, going back to tech, speaking of technology, I mean, who would have ever thought we'd have something like ESPN Plus? You know, everybody wants to bust on the American, and it's such a terrible conference now, but look how many games we can get if it's on ESPNU, or if it's certainly this particular case as they're building the ESPN Plus app, that we can have games there. There's so many more things that we can do that we couldn't just a few years ago.
Yeah, and Mark, as far as your question, we do not know the answer. That's what we were just addressing as far as why we only had the one game on ESPN Plus this weekend. We'll see if we can find some answers there. Obviously, the Memphis baseball program, you know, no secret that that program has not had anywhere near the success or tradition that East Carolina has. So that obviously means something. But at the same time, I don't know if it would. I would say, and I was even more surprised considering as Darren Schoenrock's final weekend as head coach, you know, a coach has been there a couple decades, and then also senior weekend, I thought you'd probably have at least two of the three that were on ESPN Plus, but it'd be interesting to go back and see how many of the Memphis home games have been on Plus throughout the season.
No doubt, and that's one of those things where we're talking about. And, you know, it comes down to when they were talking about, like, how many staff members, and we're trying to be fair. We understand that, like, last year was so crazy when they had all those spring, fall and spring games and all the stuff we had, but and even East Carolina. But for us, it's great that those of us that want to keep up with the non-revenue sports and see how they're doing, that we can't go to a lot of those games because they're in the afternoon time. And my gosh, Bubba, you would, if you went to games for the non-revenue sports, how many days that you would think, how many days do you think you would miss in a calendar year as a teacher and a coach? A lot, I'm sure. So what's been nice is that I don't know about you.
If I was that stupid to have such, you know, disrespect, however you want to say it, for my job, then, yeah, I would not have a job.
Exactly. And the great thing about it is Bubba doesn't have to worry about that now, because with the non-revenue sports, a lot of them now are broadcast on ESPN Plus. So that's great. And that's why my concern is, you look at, I think we've done a nice job, and of course we can do better for the non-revenue sports, but I think we're doing a much nicer job now that we have the technology to broadcast a lacrosse game. For example, I know they've done that this year. So women's basketball, been able to see a lot more games than ever before, stuff like that. So that's just, sorry, didn't mean to get off too much of a tangent there, Bubba, but that was one of the things that was bothering me this going into the weekend. I'm glad that that's the only thing. And the most important thing is the Pirates get a sweep. That's all that matters. And we got that, of course, 4-1 on Friday night. Saturday night was 8-5. And Bubba, what about today? I was curious, how would the Pirates respond when, as soon as we won that game, yesterday's game, I was thinking, well, the Pirates just pack it in. We've already won the series. We have a lead. We're in first place. And I was thinking it would be nice to get a win. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I did not expect, and sorry to my Pirates and Coach Godwin, I was thinking this would be more, I was in my kitchen today thinking this will probably be like a 3 or 4 run Pirate victory. But boy, was I wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong.
And that's fair to say, and I agree with you. I mean, if you'd have told me we'd have won, you know, 8-2 or something like that, but I definitely didn't see a 15-1 victory coming. But at the same time, if you take a closer look at it, I mean, this is the game that was 4-1 through 7 innings, and in the bottom of the 7th, Pirates did an excellent job of you know, getting out of a tough spot there. I'm trying to recall who was pitching at the time, but I believe it may have been Carter Spivey. But we got out of a real tough spot there in the bottom of the 7th, where it looked like Memphis may make it a 4-2 or 4-3 game, or maybe even tie things, because I think the Tigers stranded at least 2, if not leaving the bases loaded there in the bottom of the 7th. But got out of that jam, and then really blew the thing open in the top of the 8th. And, you know, Ben Terwilliger, you know, he had 2 quality relief performances over the weekend. You know, he's someone I was hoping that we maybe see a little bit more of moving forward, because when we've seen Ben, you know, he's really come through in some tough situations. And, you know, any time that he can see on the mound, if he's dealing like he's like he has in the past, then, you know, that's one or two less innings that Saylor and Mayhew, obviously Mayhew is a different role this weekend, but those guys, those familiar names like Saylor, Spivey, Mayhew out of the bullpen that we've seen all season long in those 3, 4, 5 innings in relief type of outings.
Hey, Bubba, by the way.
No, go ahead.
Thought you were done. Our crack research team of Mark Calloway, one of our listeners and viewers, says Memphis has had 3 total games on their schedule on ESPN Plus. So there you have it. You were asking that earlier, just a few minutes ago, about wondering how many games they've had. So again, basketball is number one there in Memphis, obviously. And their football team had been good until maybe the last, what, Bubba, maybe 2020, started to see a slide over the last couple seasons, if my memory serves me right. I know definitely last year, not the Memphis we've seen of previous years. But.
Yeah, football team won 6 or 7 games.
I think
maybe they were 6-6, and I can't remember what they did in the bowl game, but very surprised that it was only 3. I would have probably, if I had to guess, not knowing how many home games the Tigers played, knowing that they probably, you know, played at least between 25 and 30 at home.
Like 12?
I would have guessed maybe a quarter to a third, you know, in that 7, 8, 9 range, but certainly would have guessed more than 3. And that's something, whoever they hire as new head coach, I would certainly, that would be one of the things that I would be pushing very strongly for more ESPN Plus broadcast.
And not to make it about Memphis Tigers or dump on them, but how do you expect your program to grow? And if you're... If I'm a kid, right, and I'm going to – and I want to go to Memphis, and right now, one of the things you could say is maybe the players don't care, but I would think they would care somewhat if, as far as their brand is concerned, to make it to the next level, to be a professional. So maybe this you know, I know Johnny's – you're right, Johnny. Memphis is not passionate about baseball. I get it. I just say that if you're like Bubba's saying, if you want to be the next coach – you want to build your program. How can you build your program if it's not on ESPN Plus and being more of a national scene, if you will?
Yeah, even though I didn't go into everything that Johnny outlined there, just saying Memphis is just not passionate about Tiger baseball. Their total attendance for the three-game series against the Pirates, obviously the first place team in the league, and Coach Schoenrock's final series as head coach after a couple decades stay there, where he had a decent amount of success relative to the amount of success or, you know, lack thereof that program's had over the years. But just shy of 1,300 this weekend, so right there, you know, around 400 to 500 per game. And said the worst single game attendance, at least announced attendance, for East Carolina was 2,670 for St. Mary's. Obviously, there have been some games where the Pirates, you know, have probably had more like 1,000 or 1,500 in attendance. But yeah, clearly East Carolina baseball and Memphis baseball are on much different levels, much like the programs have been with a role reversal in basketball. But back to game three, Pirates really jumped on the Tigers early today. And excellent start from Jake Hunter. He went four strong innings. Thought we might see him go a little bit longer than what he did. I'm not sure how many pitches he had thrown when he got pulled, but it couldn't have been more than about 50 or 60. So I thought we might see Jake go five or six. But another solid start for freshman righty Jake Hunter. Then in relief, you saw Danny Beal, Ben Terwilliger, like I'd already mentioned. Carter Spivey actually saw a second appearance. After throwing four innings on Friday, he just saw two-thirds of an inning today. And then Josh Groves and also Merritt Beaker, North Davidson product, he came on for his first outing in quite some time. So it was nice to see Merritt get some work, and he recorded a strikeout in that scoreless bottom of the ninth. But Pirates, 16 hits, a lot of those, you know, I guess probably about half of them, came in the eighth and ninth innings, and you had six guys for East Carolina with multi-hit games. JJC, Jacob Jenkins Cowart, stuff like this is going to happen over the course of a baseball season, but because he's had quality at bats, just nothing to show for it. But over the last 5 to 6 games, he was 1 out of 18, and he was 4 out of 5 today. So nice to see such production from the tremendous Pirate freshman. And then you had Zach Agnos had 2 hits today, 4 RBIs. Bryson Wohl had 2 hits. Ben Newton had another, like I mentioned, 3 2-hit games this weekend for Ben. And you also had Josh Moreland with 2 hits. And I'm drawing a blank on the other one, but 6 Pirates with 2 hits or more games today. And like I mentioned, JJC led the way with those 4 hits. And 2 of those 4 hits for Jacob Jenkins Cowart were doubles. And Mark Calloway said he apologizes, but it was 5 total games for the year. But point still holding true that very little ESPN Plus coverage for the Tigers.
No doubt about it. And again, not to pick on them, for sure. They just don't put an emphasis, like we said. But, you know, nice now to get the sweep. Pirates are looking very good, as we Bubba talked about earlier, being the numbers guy, that he has 2-game lead for the Pirates now in the American Athletic Conference in the AAC. And then, Bubba, I know that we were talking about the RPI. Very happy with that. If you wanted to, did you want to touch on that some?
Yeah, in just a moment, we'll okay. Dive into the American School Board and the Pirate RPI, and you know, where it stands and moving forward, the RPI opportunities. But one other thing I wanted to mention, I talked about how Bryson Wohl had a 2-hit game today, and now Bryson has a 14-game hit streak.
Oh, wow. I knew that he was red hot, but I didn't know that was up to 14. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he, in Friday's game, you know, he got 7 at bats. So he did. I'm not sure. I can't recall where his hit came in that. Obviously, nobody had a hit until the ninth inning.
Right.
I don't know where Bryson's hit came between the ninth and the 13th, but
He was 1-for-7 on Friday, but was able to extend that streak. And like I mentioned, had the tremendous game today, and two hits in the game. One of six Pirates to have two or more. But yeah, going back to the RPI situation, just taking a look around the league. As we go to the American scoreboard, you had the huge series taking place down in several places. Every conference series, for the most part, had some significant impact on the standings. And, you know, taking a look at Houston, Wichita State, because Houston was second in the league standings. The Cougars won 2 out of 3 at Wichita. They won games 1 and 3 with Wichita State winning Saturday. And then you had Cincinnati. They went into Greer Field at Turchin Stadium. And then they took 2 out of 3, three closely contested games, but were able to win. I think it was 2 one-run ball games against Tulane. So that was huge, because now Tulane, who would obviously have a tiebreaker on East Carolina, the Green Wave are just 10-8 in the conference and 4 games back. And then you had also USF. The Bulls took 2 out of 3 from UCF, and now UCF is 3 games back as they went into the weekend just a game back of the Pirates, when East Carolina was 12-4 and the Knights were 10-5. But I said 12-4, 11-4, excuse me. But so there you see the league standings. East Carolina having the 2-game lead over the Houston Cougars, who come to Clark LeClair Stadium here in a couple weeks. And the Pirates this weekend, with East Carolina taking on South Florida, and then I think Houston is playing UCF. If the Pirates can sweep the Bulls, and then the Knights take 2 out of 3 from Houston, the Pirates will go ahead and clinch the outright regular season title. Or, you know, if East Carolina wins 2 out of 3 against USF and the Knights were to sweep Houston, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it did, East Carolina would be your outright champion of the American regular season championship. So, like we were discussing here within the last 15 minutes or so, you really couldn't ask to be in a better situation with your final two conference series at home and a 2-game lead on the field. So I'm very excited about, you know, where the Pirates are, and we're in control of our destiny going into the stretch run.
No doubt, Bubba, and this was what we were hoping for, you know, when going back to the start of the season, we were just so disappointed. Wisenhunt and 1-5 and all that, and then we were just like, we're just hoping that somehow, some way, that the Pirates could be in first place, and lo and behold, there we are. You know, and anything, hey, I know what Cliff Godwin is going to say to Dave and Bubba right now. You guys on the Sports Objective, you can talk all you like. We're going to focus on what we can control. We can't worry about what we don't control. And as much as you want to say that's coach speak, it really is true. You start focusing on, you know, you and I love, you know, to look at the standings and all that. But I think when it's all said and done, I do believe the Pirates will win the regular season. But hey, you still have to, I was talking about that last week to some coworkers in my day job, that you still have to play the games, right, Bubba? I mean, so as much as we want to talk about what's going on and all that, and how did this team do and that team, but at the end of the day, we still have 8 games left, all home games. Very excited about that to finish out the season before we go to the conference tournament Clearwater. But right now, we have to worry about Duke on the clock on Tuesday.
Yeah, like I mentioned, we'll see where the Pirates are in the NCAA RPI, the official RPI. I would say if they're not as high as 37th as they are in the Warren Nolan RPI, that will be very close, at least like 40 to 42nd or somewhere there, if it's not the upper 30s. But looking at those remaining 8 games, Duke has an RPI, and all this is the Warren Nolan RPI. Duke is 106th. South Florida is 140th. So these are games, you know, unless Duke finishes strong and slides into the top 100 or quadrant two, if you will, and they're between 51 and 100. These are games that the Pirates really need to win. And then you look at it, Campbell and Houston, they're all going to be four games. And you have Campbell 30 and 14, they have an RPI of 62, and then Houston 32 and 16, and the Cougars RPI is 78. So hopefully the Pirates can continue to see that RPI maybe climb into the low 30s or something.
No doubt about it. You know, it's funny. We Chris Pollard's always been great to us at Duke, coming on the show for our preview as far as the state of North Carolina college baseball. And then Justin Hare, man, great, another great coach. Both guys have found a way to take programs. And you look at Duke, they just haven't had the success that you would expect from, you know, a program that has a lot of money. But Chris Pollard is coming in. He's done a nice job there, and you never know. They seem to all of a sudden get hot. Will they have it again? We'll see. But you look at Campbell. They've done a nice job. Justin Hare has. I know he's talked to us numerous times on the show, so it's going to be great to we'll see if we can catch up with either one of them or both. But certainly with the last two mid-game series will be home, and of course the last two regular season series with the conference are going to be at home. And Bubba, we've got to, this is the make or break time. I hate to sound like that, but man, you don't want to have a slump here the last eight games.
Well, let's see. So Mark Calloway chimed in, said D1 baseball has us at 41. Don't know the update though. And then he says, I really believe that we're starting to hit our stride as a team. And then Jeff Collins said, you just jinxed Bryson. So, no, Jeff.
We have that kind of power, Jeff. You're right. Thank you, Jeff.
We would have, number one, you know, obviously I don't know how he's saying this. Some people believe in jinxes and that kind of thing, and then some people just kind of shrug it off. But, you know, I think if that was the case, then obviously it would have long since happened, because we've been talking about Bryson's hitting streak for the last two or three Sunday nights or Monday nights on extra innings, and he just – the beat rolls on with Bryson Wohl. So he's really putting it all together and having a tremendous senior season, and he's doing what we all knew he was capable of. We're playing with that consistency, and we're seeing, you know, exactly how good of a player he is, as he's been right there around 300 now for the last two or three weeks.
Very happy for him, very excited, especially, I mean, he's a Pirate, and we know that he is fantastic. We've known it all along, and like you said, Bubba, the consistency is there, and we're very excited for him, because he's one of those guys we definitely need going down the stretch, not to state the obvious, but wow, really great to see a great 2022 campaign for sure. And Johnny Robertson, hey, how about that stat, Bubba, which I didn't know. I mean, I know he's been doing well. Lane Hoover is so clutch, as my son Alexander would say, and he has reached base safely for 16 consecutive games. We know that he gets on base a lot there, Bubba. I didn't know it was 16 straight. I guess that makes sense, but man, another great player. Like I said, we've got a lot of talent on this team. I think they're finally putting it together, and we'll see how that plays out. And Bub, I know with the season playing out, if we win the regular season, do you feel confident then, or that we'll definitely be in a regional, or do you think we have to win in Clearwater? I would think that we'll win. We have a good shot to win the looks like the regular season. Unless we do you think even if we do poorly in the conference tournament, we would still get in as far as a regional?
I think it just depends on, you're saying assuming we win the regular season?
Yeah, let's say that we win the regular season and then we don't, we go 0-2 in Clearwater. Do you think we still are in?
Well, at this point, we're in such a good spot that, I mean, obviously just depends on which games we lose and what Houston does, because Houston has some challenging games this weekend against UCF prior to coming to Greenville. So, you know, it's not impossible where, now hopefully this won't be the case, but where we could go 3-3 and still win the regular season. But let's say that was the case, where let's say the Pirates finish 17-7 in the league, and then I get, and then let's say you don't win either of the midweek games, or maybe you go 3-5, but you're regular season champions. So that would make us what, 33-23? I think in that case, you know, if you're 33-23 or 34-22, that you need to go to Clearwater and at least win a couple games. But you know, if the Pirates win these series and then win the midweek games, let's say we finish 36-20, 35-21. Then I think going to Clearwater, and I think we'd probably already be in, but you'd want to go down there and win at least a game or two to not leave any doubt. But I would have, I really don't think if we're 36-20, and then let's say we did go 0-2, I think 36-22, we'd still get in.
Yeah. And not just, and for those that wonder, I'm just like, looking at the big picture, because I'm not assuming anything. I feel like if it was based on how I feel like the Pirates have done a lot. And then, like Kyle mentioned, I think a couple weeks ago, about maybe last week even, about our reputation, would that be enough to get us in? I think at this point, I think we're in. I'll just say this, Bubba, and maybe you're like, not so fast, my friend. I think we're in. It's a question of what seed we're going to be. That's the way that I feel, unless we have some kind of unbelievable slump or where we tank the last 8 or 10 games, we don't win that many, then maybe you can make a case. But I think right now, what would you say, Bubba, right now? I feel like we're a 3 seed. That's where I feel like we are right now. If the season ended today, how do I feel? I would say a 3 seed, but I think we have a shot at a 2 seed. What do you think?
I'd agree. I'd say that we're a 3 seed, and that we can, you know, if we, let's say we go 6-2 or 7-1, much less 8-0. But if we, let's say we're 36-20 or 37-19 going to Clearwater. And then even if we don't win the tournament, you know, you could still finish with
40 wins.
With 39 or 40 wins. So I think we could, if we do what we want to do down the stretch here and, you know, finish somewhere between 36 and 38 wins going to Clearwater and then win a couple in Clearwater, I think we probably play our way into a 2 seed.
How do you feel about if we win both regular season and conference, the tournament?
Well, I think if we are the regular season and tournament champions, that we're definitely a 2 seed.
That's what I'm shooting for. That's exactly the way I felt. And obviously,
the only exception to that is kind of that scenario I was saying earlier. Let's say we
we still may be
a 2 seed, but let's say we go 3-3 in league play, drop both midweek games, and then go down and win the tournament, but we win the tournament. We don't sweep through it. We don't go 4-0. We go, I guess we'd have to be 4-1. So let's say we're 37-24. Mm. I think it could be tight to whether we're a 2 or 3 seed, probably a 3 seed.
And I haven't, one thing I forgot to ask you this past week, Bubba, help me out. I usually start paying attention now. Have they talked, what have the, as far as the regionals are concerned, have they talked about potentially places we would land?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always those projections out there. I mean, but, anything, but. I mean, they're fun to look at, but you never know. I mean, the only thing that's certain is that, generally speaking, as a rule, that the NCAA tournament selection committee, they're going to do everything they can to try to keep you as regional as possible.
Right.
So very rarely are you going to see, you know, somebody, you know, sent out of their region to be a two seed, you know, like even last year, you know, NC State had a strong finish to the season and what they were, I guess a two seed at, I think they were the two, and then Alabama was the three down in Ruston at the La Tech regional. So, I mean, yeah, that's not super close, but at the same time, they still didn't get shipped out to, you know, to Arizona or California or somewhere.
Yeah, and I think with the reputation of our program, if we were, say, somebody that never got in or had been a while, maybe something like that would happen, kind of like with basketball. But I think with us, I know they try, like you said, they try to keep everybody home in baseball more than the other, like with basketball, right?
Yeah. Hey, my hope is that, you know, we play well enough down the stretch that, you know, who knows that, you know, maybe, you know, we do everything that we would like to do, be a regular season and tournament champion, you know, finish with 40 plus wins, and, you know, maybe we're a two seed in, I don't know, Hattiesburg, or, you know, I guess, obviously, you never know. Hey, maybe we're sent back to Blacksburg. We had that game in Blacksburg over spring break. The Hokies are ranked fifth. Maybe you go back to Blacksburg as a two seed, and that wouldn't be a bad deal. Obviously, tickets would be tight. That's not a very large venue there. I think it's English Field at Virginia Tech, but you know, from not having to travel far. And, you know, being able to take a good number of fans as far as, you know, the 250 or 300 tickets we would be allotted. And obviously our fans would be trying to do everything they could to get their hands on tickets other ways.
Yeah, Bubba, and for the first time ever, for those listening right now, my cat, the rescue, Bruce, made his appearance there at Cameo just now. He loves to climb up it drives me crazy. I didn't want to scream while you were talking there, but he loves to climb up the curtains. But he was actually a rescue that we had, you know, not to get off on a tangent here, but it just amazes me how people treat animals. That poor cat was literally, I think somebody just, not that I have 100% proof, but we found him. He was underneath our carport. And it's literally Christmas time, right before Christmas. He couldn't have been a week or two old. And how does a little kitten, unless they're dumped out, I don't know. But anyway, great to have him a part of the family. And now a part of the Sports Objective family, I guess, as he made his debut on camera for those that are listening. But I want to give a shout out to pgxgloves.com. And I'm glad that you put that up there, Bubba. I've got to order some more. I was going to do that for Mark, order some more batting gloves for my kids. And the ones they have are great, and they've been holding up. But they asked me a few weeks ago, and I just realized that they wanted some new batting gloves. And I appreciate Mark and everybody at pgxgloves.com. It's great stuff.
Yeah, definitely is. And definitely, if you're in the market for any of those items, batting gloves, wide receiver gloves, you know, football season's just around the corner. So if you need those, you know, customized baseball glove or other apparel and so forth, give pgxgloves.com a look. And you use, as you see, or as you saw a moment ago there on the screen, I'll put it back up there for our viewers. And that is promo code ECU to get 25% off your entire order. So definitely take advantage of that and get a good deal on some quality goods. But before we wrap things up and get out of here, yep. Earlier I had mentioned our pgxgloves.com player of the week being Ben Newton. Put that back up for a moment. Ben, 6 out of 12, 3 two-hit games, 4 RBIs, the big two-run single in the 13th. And then, of course, as you would have guessed, our PGXClubs.com pitcher of the week is C.J. Mayhew, as he did not surrender a hit in 9 innings on Friday night, striking out 9, just 101 pitches. And you're thinking just 101, but 101 pitches for 9 innings, that's tremendous. And he retired 27 out of the 28 batters he faced.
No doubt. PGX, appreciate Mark Minakazi. Thank you, Kaz, for sponsoring the pitcher of the week and the player of the week. And hey, Bubba, there's no way in the world you can argue against the player of the week or the pitcher of the week. And again, man, CJ Mayhew, that guy, that dude is tremendous. And he is definitely clutch, as you have up on the screen. Retired 27 out of 28 batters face. That's just, man, that is epic, as they say.
Yeah, and CJ Mayhew, you think back to the start he had against Cincinnati. He did not surrender a hit in his first 4 innings against the Bearcats. And then I think he allowed 2 or 3 in the 5th before he was lifted from the game. So over his last 2 starts, one on Friday, one on a Saturday roll, or in a Saturday roll, I should say, in 14, or just, I guess, 13-plus innings of work, he's only, you know, in those 14 innings that he pitched, only allowed a hit in 1 inning of those 14. So just hopefully CJ, obviously he's not going to continue to pitch that well, but hopefully he will continue to shine for the Pirates. That 14-inning stretch is Jake Kuchmaner-like from a few seasons ago when Kuch had his perfect game and then also had the near no-hitter, just a strike away from a no-hitter down in Oxford against Ole Miss. But going to be very interesting to see what role CJ has going forward, you know, whether does he stay in the Friday night role, and hopefully Jake Kuchmaner will be back very soon. But if this team is going to make some noise in the postseason, or first of all, get to the postseason and then have a chance to advance to another super regional, then they're going to need C.J. Mayhew and those arms like Carter Spivey and Garrett Saylor to really deliver like they've delivered all season.
No question. Again, we have the talent. We know we do, and we'll see how it plays out. Good luck to the Pirates this week, because, again, we have Duke at home and then at the three-game series with USF. Bubba, very excited to remind fans about 2 things. Not only Clark LeClaire, go ahead and get your tickets for those single-game tickets, ecpirates.com or 1-800-DIAL-ECU. And while we have a chance, I know there's extra innings, but I want to remind fans to get your football tickets, season football tickets are on sale. 1-800-DIAL-ECU, ecpirates.com. I know that the administration and ECU Athletics wants 15,000. We think that we can do 18,000. Come on, Pirate Nation, you can do it. And let's show everybody there at the Ward Sports Medicine Building that we are in touch with Pirate Nation and know that we can make that happen. We have the best fan base in the world, no question about it. All right, we'll have, of course, each and every week we'll have extra innings. We'll see how the Pirate baseball team does, and we'll see about that next weekend, and we'll find that out. And Bubba, I know we'll have a lot of great programming throughout the week as well. We'll keep you in tuned and let you know about that. Do you have anything we go, buddy?
No, just hopefully Pirates will stay hot, looking for their 7th straight win on Tuesday when Duke comes to town. Get out to Clark LeClaire and let's make it a rowdy atmosphere for these final 8 home games, because obviously this year, you know, with the exception of, you know, maybe by some chance, if there's somebody out there that's worthy of hosting but cannot host, and the Pirates hosted as a 2 seed, East Carolina will not be hosting a regional. You never know, maybe a super regional, but you got 8 opportunities to see East Carolina play at home this year.
No question. Good luck to the Pirates this week. And again, we'll keep you posted on any programming and any breaking news at once. All right. Thank you, Bubba Rosenbaum, for all your hard work behind the scenes and on air. I'm Dave Richmond. I want to thank Trent and Gaynell Britt for their sponsorship of the show, as they're the title sponsor of this show. And that is for Next Level Training Center, Wimbledon Drive in Greenville. And just give them a call at 252, and that would be 756 next, nextleveltc.com. Thank you, Mark. Thanks to everybody listening and watching. Until next time, as always, go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night. We will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!